Digi Evolution is up and running. Did you see? Did you hear? Did you know it was coming?
Welcome to episode 12 of Poddigious, your critically nostalgic analytical tour through the Digimon multiverse. I'm Jeff Ruberg, and I'm joined by Ashley McDonald.
Hi.
And Asher Soffman.
Hi.
So we recorded this episode a while back on June 21st before Ash ran away to learn Hebrew. Since it's been so long since we recorded, I'm recording some follow-up since last episode was released a little over 2 weeks ago. And Ashley also isn't here because she's on vacation for another day or two. So it's just me this time. First off, I want to talk about some news, which is surprising because usually there's not much news in the world of Digimon. We released last episode on the morning of August 1st. And a couple hours before I released it, there was news. So there was the 15th anniversary celebration in Odaiba on August 1st. And after a concert and a showing of our war game, there was a teaser shown for a new series of Digimon Adventure, which is very surprising. And very little information is known about it. There's a trailer, not really a trailer, a teaser, that you can watch on YouTube, and there'll be a link in the show notes. All we know is it'll feature Tai. It'll feature Tai at age 17 in high school, and that's about all we know. We know it's a series. We know it is actually an animation. I still think that it could be an OVA series. I don't see any evidence in it that's been announced to say that it is a full series, but everyone seems to be jumping to that conclusion. People are speculating that it'll have to retcon the 0-2 epilogue in order to have any kind of conflict. My speculation is that the conflict will be about people all over the world getting Digimon, since we know that by the epilogue, I forget how many years later that's supposed to take place after 0-2, but by the time the epilogue takes place, say that everyone or nearly everyone has a Digimon partner. So there's a lot in between there. And I assume my speculation is it'll cover people all over the world getting Digimon. It would make sense to focus on Tai and maybe actually explore his relationship as a diplomat. I don't know. None of us know. That's the problem. So the next piece of news is that soon after, I first heard about this on a couple of days later, the website, and we have a link in the show notes, was updated to have a Digi-Egg or Digitama that you could click once per day, and it had a counter that supposedly once it got to zero, they would release information about the new series. I forget what the count was, but right now it is sitting at 61,000 clicks left. But it's sitting there because 2 days ago on Sunday, the August 17th, a Sukumon appeared blocking the egg with his own counter that is at 364,000. So, yeah, they probably didn't know how fast the counter would go down, didn't have the information ready, and introduced Sukumon to delay it. So, yeah, I mean, you can go to the site. It's digimon-adventure.net. There's a link in the show notes. If you click it once a day, that'll help accelerate information being revealed, but it's hard to get excited about it because, you know, it's unclear if everyone banding together to click it every day will actually result in it being released sooner, or if they'll just introduce new obstacles. So that's all the news. And now to cover some feedback about the last episode, episode 11, covering the end of Adventure. The first piece of feedback comes from Robert, I'm going to butcher this name, Petramolks, on our comment section. And he has a bunch of interesting points, but what I wanted to talk about specifically was a theory he had about how natural Digivolution works. So here's what he said. This isn't an official explanation as far as I know, but it's kind of a coalescence of my knowledge from consuming too much Digimon fiction and being familiar with the VPETs. Baby through Ultimate is basically the normal life cycle of a Digimon. Most Digimon are pretty much guaranteed to reach adult/champion if they survive long enough. Perfects, dub Ultimate, are the badasses of the digital world, individuals that have risen above their peers, such as a Digimon that has seen a lot of combat or are the leader of their herd or group. Ultimates, dubbed Mega, are living legends or gods and wielders of awesome power. They're pretty rare and require extraordinary circumstances or just an ungodly amount of training or for Digimon to reach that level. I like that theory. You know, makes a lot of sense. The naming of the stages in Japanese, baby through adult, certainly signify that they're a natural life cycle. I mean, referring to the Ultimates/Megas as godly, I mean, that gets into weird territory since there are, you know, literal gods, and I guess they are also mega forms. The next piece of feedback comes from ShawneeMac23, also in our comment section. So in the last episode, we talked about how it seems strange how hostile Kari and Sora addressed Lady Devimon, and how it seemed like it was because Lady Devimon dressed as the group as boys, and I had speculated that it was because she left out the girls, and so that they were annoyed because they had been ignored. Shawn and Mac 23 raises the possibility that they were offended because they were lumped in with the boys. That Sora is very tomboyish and Kari is young and has a short haircut, that they felt like their femininity was actually being slighted, which makes sense, especially from this Digimon that's like super feminine, be kind of like, you're not real women. And the last piece of feedback comes from Luz, their Intellimon, also in our comment section. All the feedback this week has come from the comment section. Was pretty silent on Reddit because everything was overshadowed by the Digimon Adventure Series 3 announcement. Anyway, so Telemon, there were interesting points in this feedback about the firewall. So he says, they definitely stated during the firewall section that it's supposed to be a sort of ancient evil that was defeated by the first 5 Digidestined. And yeah, what I found to be weird about the firewall was that they kind of bring it up as the recurring source of all evil, and it seems strange that is never again mentioned in 02, that's just completely dropped. But I guess everything that happens in 02 is the result of Myotismon, so it's not like a new source of all evil is introduced. It's all just repercussions of Adventure. The other part of this feedback that I was interesting and wanted to talk about was talking about terraforming after defeating the Dark Masters. And he says, and yeah, it is generally accepted that the data was sent back to the digital world. It is important to note that when they arrived at the digital world during the beginning of the Dark Masters arc, they're in a location outside the mountain. It is established that there are remains of the old world, and it is logical to assume that it reformats frontier style after the Dark Masters are defeated. That is certainly logical. If, you know, that is what I thought would happen if I thought about it. What frustrated me is that none of that is shown. You know, we don't see the land. We see the land disappearing. We don't see it going back to what was there before. That would be hard to animate, and clearly they were on a tight budget.
This week we're covering the first Digimon movie, so here's a quick recap.
The movie chronicles the first time the Digidestined saw Digimon several years before the series began.
Tai and Kari open the shady attachment on their dad's computer, which turns out to be a Digi Egg. Kari keeps it warm until it hatches into a black blob.
The black blob digivolves into a pink blob, and after eating a nutritionally balanced diet of chocolate and cat food, has a climactic showdown with a cat.
The pink blob sleep digivolves into Agumon, who takes Kari out for a night on the town. Agumon attacks a giant parrot, digivolves into a giant dinosaur, falls asleep, and is woken up by Tai blowing Kari's whistle.
So, we watched the first movie, which is called Digimon Adventure, was the name in Japanese, and it is only the first third of the Digimon movie that was introduced in the US and dubbed as part of the rest of the stuff in the US. But we watched both the English dub, which, like, by just watching the first third of the English movie and the Japanese subtitle version. Ash, did you watch the subtitle?
No.
Okay. Ash didn't watch the subtitle.
I was a little bit too pressed for time.
Yeah. I actually only did it because it was like, we're like, we had nothing to talk about, and it's only about 20 minutes of thing, so. Did you guys have any favorites in this movie that was 5 minutes long?
My favorite is Tai falling off his bunk bed every time he goes down the ladder. It's my favorite thing. So graceful.
I felt it was kind of overhanded in the dub where each time it happens, Kari talks about it. I remember it's only the first time.
Totally the first time. Where she's like, he's so graceful. And then he slips.
Yeah, I liked it better. It was just in the Japanese, just a subtle detail.
It was pretty boring to me. I liked in the Japanese, just the picture of the ending song picture of Greymon and Tai.
Oh, that was weird though, because it was like Tai at the age of adventure with, I assumed, not this Greymon.
Yeah, no, it looked like normal Greymon.
I wasn't really sure, but I liked how they played Butterfly, the opening to the main series. During that, it was like a transition into the main series, kind of.
I like how Kari's still a weirdo. I guess more in Japanese version, because like she's riding Agumon and he like crushes a car, and she's like, "That was kind of scary. Keep riding this dinosaur." Oh, Kari.
So my favorites were parrot moments were Kari and Bodemon bubbling, or Kari whistling and Bodemon blowing bubbles.
Yeah, that was cute.
I don't know which. I like it, the way in the dub they made it the opening do 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 thing. Even though part of me is like, this is kind of corny. Like, this is too meta. Like, how would she have known this song? But.
What is it in Japanese? I don't remember.
It's just like she's just doing like I can't mimic a whistle. She's just going like, and then he does like a string of bubbles, and then she goes like, and then it's like two.
Oh, that's cute too.
Right. It's like he's just copying her, whereas in the dub, it's like they're both playing along to the song, and neither of them should really know. And. But I mean, there are lots of examples in anime where, not just anime, where like they, like in Adventure, when the song that Mimi sings in Japanese is the ending song to the show.
Right.
So this was more believable than that. And it's kind of more like, ooh, cool, that song. And it sounds cooler than it does in the actual song. So. And my second favorite thing was the fact that the dub does not have Bolero. Because, oh my God, the Japanese, like it's just Bolero on repeat for 20 minutes. Oh my God. So much Bolero. There's, what I recall from watching the whole Adventure series in Japanese, there's like a decent amount of Bolero throughout the series, but it's literally just on repeat throughout this movie. So much Bolero. So much Bolero. And there's none in the dub, so that's great.
I appreciate that the dub made this boring movie so, like, semi-funny. It made it tolerable.
Right?
I just found it so boring in Japanese. So little dialogue and, like, ugh.
Yeah, I mean, it's boring. I don't know. I mean, the dub has more jokes, but I felt they were... They made Kari so much more talkative than she seemed she should be at that age.
Her age is really strange. Shouldn't she be 4? She looks like she's 2.
Wait, Jeff, are you implying that the narrator Kari was 4 years old? Because it's supposed to be future Kari narrating it.
Yeah, it's like season 2 Kari.
Oh, yeah, that's not anything we can get into. No, I'm saying that in, like, the actual Kari, like, she's just, like, yapping her mouth out while she's out with Agumon.
That's true.
Oh, in English.
And in the Japanese, she's just like, cool, I'm just riding this thing and not talking.
Well, she doesn't whistle. I really appreciated Tai's line of, how come you talk to him when you only whistle at me?
Right?
Yeah, I thought that was cool how it seemed realistic. I don't have any actual evidence. I've never had younger siblings to compare this to, but it seemed accurate to me to have like someone who doesn't like talking but likes to whistle instead of talking, and then like have someone else be jealous that like, oh, well, she's talking to him. And I think in both versions, in the Japanese and the dub, she doesn't. Like, in the dub, she's much more talkative than she is in the Japanese, but in both of them, she still does talk outside of whistling. It's just much less in the Japanese. It was weird for her in the English dub to not talk without a whistle and then just be, like, talking so much later on.
I think you need more experience with kids, because kids talk a lot, Jeff.
Yeah.
True.
Kids don't stop talking once they learn how to start.
True, true.
Like, if she was like, I'm comfortable with this dinosaur thing, like, I could see her just not shutting up.
She shouldn't have been comfortable with the dinosaur tearing apart.
Especially since he doesn't talk back, really. Well, he does in English, but...
Yeah.
So she's... How old is she?
She should be 4. I'm pretty sure. Possibly 3.
This chart of the ages on the Digimon Wiki always confuses me.
Yeah, because the ages are all messed up all the time between the dub and the sub.
Right, well, it's confusing because it has, like, you know, like, Adventure age, 0-2 age, Japanese, and English age, so it's like a matrix of 4 different values, which shouldn't be that complicated, but the way it's presented, for some reason, always confuses me. So in Adventure, she's supposed to be 8, and do they specify how many years earlier this is supposed to be?
I always thought it was 4.
So yeah, I guess she was born in 1991.
Don't they say, like, the Heightened View Terrace incident 4 years ago?
No, because they make it 8 years ago, because it's,
season
like,
two.
Adventure 2, yeah.
The whole framing of the Adventure 0-2 thing is confusing.
Thank you.
Confusing.
I just realized, I didn't really think of it before, but I didn't realize that the characters are essentially our age. Like, they, like, Kari's born in 1991. Like, we're a year older than Kari. That's kind of weird to think about.
I would not want to hang out with 23-year-old Kari.
Maybe you're a year older. Maybe you're a year older than Kari.
Are you not?
I'm born older than you.
Oh, la-di-da.
Anyway.
It's just weird. I don't know what's so weird about that. Like, I don't know if I assumed they were younger or older than me. I guess I assumed they were younger because they, at the time that I would watch it. So I guess it's only in 1999 that the two lined up. Because then, I know, because then they would have been, then a year later, they would have been 4 years older. I don't know.
Well, see, it was a big deal for me and my brother because I was Ty's age and he was TK's age.
Huh.
That's adorable. Wait. Did you get really overprotective of him and then freak out and then go on a journey by yourself?
No. I used to beat him up.
You're a terrible person.
And by beat him up, I mean, like, not actually that.
Mm, sure. Try to save face now.
I think people have a very, the listeners of this show get a very strange impression of me that they would not have if they actually met me in person.
That would be interesting if we could, like, ask for feedback of, ask people to just, like, describe the personalities of the show and see, you know, like, if they had to do, like, a, what is it called? Like, a, like, when the police ask someone to, like, draw a description of someone.
A sketch.
Like, if they did that of us. And then, like, but instead of, like, visually, just, like, character-wise, we got to see the Digi-Rap.
Digi-Rap! Yes.
Okay, like, watching this show, this movie, was fun for me because I know all the songs. I have the Digimon movie soundtrack. It is on, it is in my iTunes.
Oh, Digi-Rap. Does anyone genuinely like it, or just ironically like
me.
It? Me! You genuinely like it?
Well, now I do. I don't believe in liking things ironically.
Yes, thank you, Asher. Either you like something or you don't. Get over it, people.
Well, okay. So maybe liking ironically isn't the right term, but, like, there's been, over the course of watching the show, there's stuff that we like because it's terrible, you know?
I mean, it's not quality music, no, but, like...
I like plenty of non-quality music.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, the affection I hold for the Pokemon theme. It's exactly the same kind of affection I have.
I liked how Ty's hair was the same size, even though his body's like half the size.
Was it?
It was pretty great. Ty's hair was fantastic.
I don't know if it was exactly, but I mean, like, the ratio was totally off.
The ratio is always off, though.
Yeah. I mean, his hair was at least as big as he was.
Better.
It was cute.
There's a weird... I guess I'll describe it in the next video. I'm wondering when to talk about how Kari's narration... I think I'll talk about it in for the other movie. That's more jarring there. Here, it makes kind of sense that she's...
Right.
Narrating.
Yeah.
Because it's... Yeah.
Because she's actually there.
Yeah.
So in English, the Digimon movie came out in the middle of season 2 of Adventure Zero 2. And so this movie was kind of like after people had moved on from Digimon Adventure and like reminding them of things that like questions that were unanswered or not unanswered, but like that had been vaguely referred to in Adventure. But in Japan, this movie came out, I believe it was actually like a week before the show aired. In Japan, this movie, Digimon Adventure, which is a really confusing name because it's like Digimon Adventure, the movie, to Digimon Adventure, the series. Anyway, Digimon Adventure, the movie aired on March 6th, 1999, and the first episode of Digimon Adventure the series aired on March 7th, so...
Interesting.
I'm actually curious, like, because my understanding was this aired in theaters, but do people actually go to theaters for a 20-minute thing? It really confuses me.
I mean, they did in the 30s.
I guess.
But...
I don't know what happens in Japan.
Probably it was attached to something else, if it was this short a movie.
Mm-hmm.
I would assume.
According to Digimon Wiki, the series was more well-known than the movie.
Was more what?
Was more well-known or popular than the movie.
Makes sense to me.
There's a reason for that.
Yeah, and I mean, my understanding was this movie was meant as a, like, a promo for the show. Like, you know, make a bigger event out of it and then be like, go watch the show if you want more.
But I feel like it's such a misleading...
Oh, yeah.
...thing of what the show would be like at all.
This is very much, like, is cooler the word I'm looking for? Cooler might be the word I'm looking for.
I don't know.
Well, it's...
Cooler's not the word Ashley's looking for, at least.
No, it's not the word I'm looking for.
I mean, it's boring, but, like, the action is a lot better than anything in the series.
The budget is definitely not...
Oh, yeah.
The budget is way better than the actual show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so there are a lot of surface differences between this movie and the show, but I think they didn't want to just, like, have an episode of the TV show. Like, I think it's interesting because it's totally very different, and yet I think it does... kind of introduce people to, like, what Digimon is going to be like.
You sure about that?
I disagree. I think it was much darker.
Oh, yeah. Because, like, Agumon didn't talk.
Agumon didn't
and
talk.
And neither did Greymon, really.
He's a big, scary dinosaur.
Right, he didn't talk, but...
There's a scene in Japanese where their father comes home drunk. Like,
oh, yeah.
That was interesting. So he came home drunk, but he also was like, I guess it's a little vague, like, what he's actually... It seemed like he was just, like, coming on drunk and, like, wanted to, like, you know, say hi to his kids. It wasn't,
right,
like,
they were asleep.
Well, they weren't. They were supposed to be.
Well, that's because there was a dinosaur in their bed.
That's a, okay, that could be the title of the episode, Dinosaur in the Bed. Anyway, yeah, he was drunk, but I thought he was, you know, like, loving drunk.
It's still, there is still tension between the parents that is totally darker than...
Yeah, I also liked how the parents, they didn't animate their faces because they didn't have designs finalized, probably.
Yeah. So good.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's the best summary of what adventure would be like.
It's also all in the real world. Like, there's no...
Yeah, yeah.
No digital world.
Okay, so here are the things that I thought it sold well. And it shows a lot of change. They get introduced to Digimon who digivolves three times. They get introduced to Bodemon, digivolves to Koromon, then Agumon, then Greymon. I don't want to make this all about the show trying to differentiate itself from Pokemon. I think we have to look at that to some degree, right?
I guess.
I'm actually looking up now the Pokemon TV show when it started airing. What? Apparently the Pokemon anime started airing in 1997.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
I didn't realize it was that far, that so much earlier.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay, so Pokemon had been out for 2 years by the time this started airing as an anime. So yeah, I think there's a lot more. Okay, I was going to be hesitant about comparing, about this using this movie as a lens to see how Digimon would differentiate itself from Pokemon, but I think given that Pokemon had been out for 2 years, I think it is totally valid to view this as something that was like, you've heard about this thing called Digimon, here's how it's going to be different. And so Pokemon evolution is like a big deal, you know, it's like a event. Pokemon is kind of like, stuff doesn't change that much, and then once it does, it's like a big deal. And and Digimon is like, in this movie, there one character goes through three different digivolutions and it's in constant state of flux. And it's also, it's pretty nuanced, and not nuanced, but I mean, it's complicated how he is portrayed. You know, he is scary and aggressive at certain phases of his evolution, and they still love him, which is kind of weird.
Well, you sure about that?
What? Do they love him?
That they still love him.
I thought so. I mean, he's pretty scary when he's Greymon, but they're still, like, you know, like, rooting for him, which is kind of weird.
Because the other one, well, they didn't know the other one, and, like... It's easier to root for the big scary one you know than the big scary one you don't know. But they do seem scared of him.
Right, what I'm more thinking of, I'm not saying they weren't scared of him, but I'm saying, like, once he falls down, they, like, stay with him and, like, root for him. And in the Japanese, they even, like, I think they make it clear that Tai whistling is supposed to be an act of friendship to, like, wake him up.
Mm-hmm. I just, it seemed to me more that they were desperate and Parrotmon was obviously going to eat them, while Greymon was more of a questionable character.
Well, I mean, Parrotmon wasn't actually aggressive at all. Like, Agumon just shot him out of the sky.
That's why I'm like, wait, why are we rooting for Greymon? Because Parrotmon didn't do anything. Greymon was like, there's a bird there. I need to, like... shoot that thing.
It's weird looking back at this, because I feel like there are a lot of themes that this movie introduced that aren't actually tackled until Tamers. It felt very reminiscent of Tamers, like how aggressive and actually monster-like Agumon is. And it's the only... There's like, when Koromon digivolves, he's actually like afraid of digivolving or dreading it or something. Like, his face is all weird.
I don't know why that was. Thought it's because he was dreading digivolving?
I feel like his body was going through a change and he was like, I don't know what's going on with me. Also, it's kind of weird for that to be in a bed and it's like, this is like a wet dream? I don't know. This is kind of weird. I don't want to think about it.
I thought he like sensed the presence of Parrotmon or something. I don't know.
Oh.
I don't think Parrotmon was there yet.
I know. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, he wasn't. But maybe he was like coming. Or...
I didn't think he was scared. I thought he was reacting to his body getting all weird and like the energy coursing through him was making him all...
It's a metaphor for puberty.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like a metaphor for puberty now.
It always was. Child stage... Adult stage, etc.
Oh.
But
he's going from, like...
He's going from in training to child.
Wait, what is it? It's baby two in Japanese, right?
Yeah.
Well, another thing that the things that seem obvious since we know Digimon, but I mean, this is, like, clearly sells Digimon as being about a few strong bonds instead of one character having, like, tons of Pokemon. You know, it's all about... I mean, it's weird because it's a different Agumon and Koromon than Tai eventually gets, but it's still, like, this whole 20 minutes is about the bond with this one character, mm-hmm. even though he changes a lot. And we were talking about how it's kind of weird that it's set in the real world, not the digital world, but I still feel like it kind of shows that Digimon is rooted in the real world. Even if it's set in
the digital world for most of Adventure. Mm-hmm. It's still these, like, it's still set. I would still call the real world a setting, and the kids are drawn out of that into the digital world. Like, compared to Pokemon, where it's just Pokemon is a completely different world. You know, like, it's completely detached from the real world. So I could see people who have been used to Pokemon being like, this is a completely different change of pace. Whereas in the US, it's kind of like they're, when we start in the digital world, it's much more similar in that regard.
I guess. I'm trying to think of how the other kids play into this bond stuff. Because there's, I don't know. I felt like there was definitely apprehension of, like, there are big monsters fighting. For, like, Sora and Joe and Matt, TK.
I mean, when they're shown watching?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm probably reading too much into it. I'm probably trying to extract certain things. But it's hard for me. It's hard for me to imagine a world where they didn't construct this movie to, you know, like, differentiate Digimon.
I could see that, but why did it have to be? You could differentiate from Pokemon and still hold over the same tone of the actual series.
True.
I mean, it was completely different studio and everything. Like, what I found that I didn't think that the movie tied into the series all that well, but I thought it was a really fascinating interpretation of the V-Pet. Because I was struck, because I had the V-Pet back in the day, and it was kind of exactly like what dealing with the V-Pet in real life would have been like.
That's a really good point, yeah.
It pooped everywhere, yo.
So I never heard the Digimon V-Pet, but I mean, I can, like, my experience with, like, Tamagotchi, and I had some, like, off-brand dinosaur one.
Oh, Digimon's exactly the same as Tamagotchi, except they fight.
You have to get your parents to take care of it while you're at school.
Was that a thing in the toy?
No.
Oh. What? No, that's what I did.
It didn't have a pause function, so when you went to school, if it got hungry, you were dead. Because most schools banned them.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, when I was into Tamagotchi and similar things, I can only remember being in the summer, and they were definitely banned at camp, and people would, like, sneak them in and stuff.
Yes.
I can't remember why it didn't happen, like, did that phase last less than a summer? Like, why didn't I don't have memories of school?
No, it did not last less than a summer.
Probably because you didn't make your mom take it to work one day, and then she was in a meeting, and it was, like, going
off. Oh, did it actually make noise and stuff?
I think so. Or, like, something. It's a good time. Thanks, Mom. You're the best.
Yeah.
I like that now. I like that a lot more now, like, thinking of it as the V-Pet brought to the screen as kind of a bridge into this completely different world that Digimon never was before this.
Yeah, I will buy this interpretation.
Thank you, thank you.
I'm applauding that. So, okay. So I've been thinking a lot about the series and the way that all the characters in the main series are so quick to adapt to the Digimon changing names. Mm-hmm. Like, in the first episode, they get introduced to each of them gets a partner, and they're all like, who's this thing? And then, like, a second later, they all Digivolve, and they're just like, okay, you're this new name. And I think it ties to something like, Koromon, Agumon, whoever you are. And he, like, doesn't care what his name is, right?
Yes.
I thought it was a really cool, empowering moment for, like, I don't know, like, showing that, like, names like that don't matter, and, like, if you, I don't know.
I'm wondering why in Japanese they never said any of their names in either movie. How are you supposed to know what Digimon are called?
They said Koromon.
Japanese?
Yeah. No, it definitely Koromon talks and says his name. But it's the only of Agumon's form, is the only name that's ever expressed. So in the Japanese, they just refer to him as Koromon throughout the movie, which is the reason I bring this up is because I found it strange that throughout they call him Koromon. And in the story, it makes perfect sense because Koromon's the only one that talks, so none of the other ones could have said their name. But I don't know. I probably think of it too much, but I started thinking, like, oh, it's because Tai and Kari are younger, so even if they had said their names, they wouldn't have been, like, able to, you know, like, grasp that they were changing identity. I don't know. I'm probably, like, reading too much into that because I've been thinking about that.
Well, maybe if you want to read that much into it, though, it could also be that Tai and Kari are younger, so the form they bond with is the in-training form.
Mm-hmm. They don't grow up with... The Digimon grows up faster than they do.
Yeah.
True facts. Speaking of dialogue, Jeff, we go around and just pick our top three funniest, most ridiculous, or most touching lines from episodes normally, but this is a movie that was one episode in length. We're going to do one this time, so it's not really a draft. Just some ridiculous dialogue.
It still is a draft. We're picking.
We're picking teams of one. Yes. Yeah. And Jeffrey gets to go first because he only wrote down one thing.
Okay, so my pick, my single pick, is we've talked before about how Kari speaks much more in the dub than in the Japanese, and this is an example of that. It's when she's riding on Agumon's back and they're like walking around, and Agumon, like, I guess they animated him like turning his head, looking different directions. So Kari says, like,
look both ways before you cross the street. See any cars? Do you even know what a car is?
Yeah.
Oh man, I wrote that one down, but it's not. I didn't put it at the top as like a. Anyway, mine will be. I guess Agumon almost gets hit by a bus or something, and then he almost gets hit by a truck. So then he like pepper breaths it, and his pepper breaths are still as inaccurate as always, apparently. But then there's a bus that comes, and he's just like looking at it. So Kari says,
why are you looking at that bus? Please don't blow it up. I know my mom says they're always late, but they can't help it. Don't be a bad boy!
Yeah, that was really cute.
It was simultaneously funny and also like, yeah, you should be terrified that...
Oh, yeah, okay. So this is from also when Agumon was... This is from right before the quote Jeff did, actually.
Are all of our quotes just from when Agumon's rampaging?
Where Agumon almost gets hit by a truck or a van or something. And one guy, who's not on screen or anything, says,
did you see that?
The other dude's like,
no, I was sleeping.
And the other dude's,
but you're driving!
That was so strange and stupid and funny.
It was great. That is a fine example, fine introduction to the series in America.
Yeah, it's true.
You can find the show notes for this episode with detailed links and images of everything we discussed at podigious.com/12. You can also post comments there with your favorite ridiculous dialogue draft pick, not that there are many to choose from in this episode, or any thoughts about this episode or the podcast in general. We have a really lively comment section, so it's worth checking out to engage with other fans, and we might discuss your feedback on the show. You should subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and leave us a written review. A higher iTunes rating really helps new people find the show, helps us find podcast listeners out there that are dormant Digimon fans, bring them into community, and get everyone discussing things together. Special thanks to Immortal142 for leaving an awesome review in iTunes since last episode, and you should be cool like them. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and reblog us on Tumblr. Next time, we're going back to the end of Adventure with our war game. Bye.
Bye.
And remember, never stop Digivolving.
Blow my whistle, baby. Have you not heard the song Whistle by Flo Rida?
I don't know if I want to. Anyway.
You don't want to. But you should, because we've all been inflicted. We've all had it inflicted upon us.
The digi dudes will digi rule.
I'm not going to.
With something, not, something? No, I don't know,
I'm
man.
Not, I'm not. I can't even. But the third Pokemon theme is genuinely good.
Which one's that?
I think it's the
Johto Journeys.
Johto!
The second Johto one?
Pokemon Johto!
Oh, that one?
No, not that one.
Not that one? Wait, is it a better one?
Is it
the one
everybody
like
wants to be a master?
Yeah.
Everybody wants to show their... Wow, really, Jeff?
No.
I don't think it's that one. I think that's the same one.
No, it's not.
I'm pasting it in here. That's left. This will be in the show notes, the Pokemon opening, which should not be the Pokemon podcast, but...
Wait a second.
I'm not clicking that.
No, this is the one I said.
My bandwidth.
Oh,
Born to be a Winner?
Yeah.
Mm. You think that's quality music?
I think I can do it from memory. Pokemon, Pokemon, Pokemon. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
I want to be the
very... There's still the Pokemon Johto thing in this, isn't there?
Huh? It's the second Johto opening. Oh, no, yeah, they do at the end. Like,
yeah.
They're like, it's like Pokemon Johto, born to be a winner.
Yeah,
this is what I was talking. We're talking about the same song, Jeffrey.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's right there.
Anyway,
you're salty.
Oh, no, I should have said the pink blob goes through puberty in Kari's bed.
That's creepy.
Oh, that's weird, yeah. Gross.
That's just wrong.
Ew.
You can find the show notes of this episode with links and images of everything we discuss, which we didn't discuss that much, at... Okay, I'm not here for that.
No, do say it.
Well,
do
I don't want people to be like mad that we had a short episode.
Whatever.
Why? It's about 20 minutes.
Yeah, okay.
Probably going to be a half hour when you cut it down.
True, true.